From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister Nadiem invites filmmakers to be more creative and innovative. Minister Cahyo prohibits state civil apparatus and their families to go hometowns. Now the news in details. Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Anwar Makarim invited filmmakers and film activists to be more creative and innovative in producing the best works. The minister made the statement during his speech at the commemoration of the National Film Day every March 30th. Escorted by Taranus Agency, HFN, or National Film Day, commemoration this year is done by online. In a written statement in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Nadiem Makarim explained, at the beginning of this year, the Ministry of Education and Culture had formed the Directorate of Film, Music and New Media, which have duties to improve production's capacity, expand access, and increase public appreciations. He also expressed his pride and high appreciation for the achievement of Indonesian films throughout 2019. The special remarks were given to filmmakers, film industry actors, film community activists across Indonesia, along with their contribution in making advance of film and culture generally. Minister of Administrative and Bureaucracy Reform, Cahyo Kumolo, asked the state civil apparatus in all government agencies not to travel outside the region or go back to their hometowns. The efforts were done to prevent the expansions of the transmissions of COVID-19. As quoted by republika.co.id, the minister emphasized that the instruction is not only to Idul Fitri, but also helps reduce the risk of coronavirus spreads at the time to the current emergency status is still implemented. Minister Cahyo unveiled this matter during a virtual press conference at the Administrative and Bureaucracy Reform, or PANRB, Ministry Office, Jakarta on Monday. The policy is a response of the extensions of the status of certain emergencies of the coronavirus epidemic in Indonesia, which has been issued by National Disaster Management Agency. Cahyo noted that the ASN and their families who do not go hometown will reduce the risk of COVID-19 caused by human mobility from one region to another in Indonesia. Egypt's famed Great Pyramid was emblazoned Monday evening with messages of unity and solidarity with those battling the novel coronavirus the world over. As quoted by AFP.com, "Stay safe, stay at home, and thank you to those keeping us safe," flash in blue and green lights across the towering structure at the Giza Plateau, southwest of the capital Cairo. Egypt has so far registered 656 COVID-19 cases, including 41 deaths. Of the total infected, 150 reportedly recovered. Tourism and Antiquities Minister Khalid Al-Anani at the site stated, "The tourism sector is one of the most affected industry, but our priority is health." Senior Antiquities Ministry officials Mustafa Al-Waziri thank all the medical staff who helped to keep us safe. Egypt has carried out sweeping disinfection operations at archaeological sites, museums, and other sites across the country. In tandem, strict social distancing measures were imposed to reduce the risk of contagions among the country's 100 million inhabitants. President Donald Trump and his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin discussed plunging oil prices and the coronavirus pandemic on Monday. As Trump said, Moscow is pressing for an end to U.S. sanctions. As quoted by AFP.com, the White House said in a separate statement, Trump and Putin had agreed to work closely together through the G20 against the virus and the economic shock resulting from travel bans and social distancing. Both statements reported that the oil market turmoil was discussed, with the White House version stating agreement on the importance of stability in global energy markets. Earlier, Trump had said he was going to use the call to raise objections over a Russian-Saudi price war, driving down world oil prices and really hurting the U.S. energy industry. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Harsh lockdowns aimed at halting the march of the coronavirus pandemic extended worldwide on Monday as the death toll soared past 37,500 amid new waves of U.S. outbreaks. Despite slivers of hopes in stricken Italy and Spain, the thawed measures that have convened some two-fifths of the globe's population to their homes were broadened. As quoted by AFP.com, harsh lockdowns aimed at halting the march of the coronavirus pandemic extended worldwide on Monday as the death toll soared past 37,500 amid new waves of U.S. outbreaks. Despite slivers of hopes in stricken Italy and Spain, the thawed measures that have convened some two-fifths of the globe's population to their homes were broadened. English football's major stakeholders will meet on Friday to discuss their options to rescue a season derailed by the coronavirus outbreaks. The Premier League campaign has been postponed until at least April 30th because of the pandemic, but the chances of the return in May look bleak. As quoted by AFP.com, AFP Sport takes a closer look at the various scenarios that are likely to be considered in the talks over if and how to finish the season. One option is for clubs to converge on a neutral location in which all remaining games are played behind closed doors, with only essential personnel and broadcasters allowed to attend. There is believed to be growing support among clubs for this plan, with 9 rounds of matches potentially in line to be staged in June and July. A number of European governments have rejected Chinese-made equipment designed to combat the coronavirus outbreaks. As quoted by BBC.com, thousands of testing kits and medical masks are below standards or defective, according to authorities in Spain, Turkey, and the Netherlands. Europe has reported hundreds of thousands of cases of coronavirus. More than 10,000 people have died in Italy since the outbreak began. The virus was first detected in China at the end of 2019. The government implemented strict lockdown measures to bring it under control. Earlier on Saturday, the Dutch Health Ministry announced it had recalled 600,000 face masks. The equipment had arrived from a Chinese manufacturer on March 21st and had already been distributed to frontline medical teams. Dutch officials said that the masks did not fit and that their filters did not work as intended, even though they had a quality certificate. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. 5. Medical treatment as soon as possible, and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian People Asked not to Go Home This Year. Well, listener, ahead of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri, it has become a culture of Indonesian people to go home, or so-called mudik. However, in 2020, the situation is different. The fasting month and Eid al-Fitri holidays are preceded by the coronavirus pandemic COVID-19. In Indonesia, more than 1,000 people were tested positive for COVID-19. More than 100 people died from the disease. Some regional heads have appealed to their residents who migrate in the big cities like Jakarta and Surabaya not to go home this year. The appeal was issued to prevent the transmission of COVID-19 in the village. In fact, there are local governments that close access to their regions for the travelers. However, the reality is that many people have gone home earlier. In a limited meeting related to anticipating mudik Lebaran through a live broadcast of the Presidential Secretariat YouTube account on Monday, President Joko Widodo said that over the past 8 days, there had been 876 interprovincial bus armadas carrying approximately 14,000 passengers from Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi, Jabodetabek to West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, and East Java. This has not been calculated using mass transportation, for example trains, ships, and air transportation and private cars. According to the president, the flow back and forth has been going since the establishment of the emergency response in Jakarta on March 20, 2020. Whereas the focus of the ruling government is to prevent the spread of COVID-19 by reducing or limiting the movement of people from one place to another. The appeal to not going home has been sounded by various related agencies such as the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, the Indonesian Ulama Council until President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. Now President Joko Widodo has asked the regional governments to more firmly forbid residents from going home to the village for the sake of mutual safety. However, the president also viewed that nowadays the number of people going home is no longer related to a cultural factor, but it is because a compulsion. Generally, residents going home from the Jabodetabek area are due to a drastic decline in income as the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. The appeal to stay home reduces the income of the travelers, who are mostly small merchants. The grassroots communities face a dilemma. If they must stay at home, how do they earn some money without being able to do anything? And if they return to their villages, there is a possible risk for them to transmit the COVID-19 in the villages. The government does not have much time to help them. There must be speedy assistance so that they do not go home, but they feel guaranteed with their lives where they live. For those who are much richer, they are aware to not hastily go home, but they are ready to share with the poorer groups of people. Not going home is to protect each other, parents and grandparents, and even neighbors in the village are susceptible to contracting the COVID-19. If the travelers love them, going home should be postponed until the COVID-19 outbreak fades away. Now what is needed is self-awareness to carry out stay home or physical distancing. Of course, as religious people, praying to the God Almighty is equally important so that the pandemic of COVID-19 sacks off sooner. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History begins with March the 31st, 1981, the drama of Voila Garuda DC-9 aircraft hijacking ends. Garuda Indonesia flights from Talang Betutu Airport, Palembang to Polonia Airport in Medan was hijacked on March the 28th, 1981. The aircraft departed from Jakarta at 8 a.m. in the morning, transited in Palembang. During the flight, the plane was suddenly hijacked by 5 terrorists disguised as passengers. After landing temporarily to refuel at Penang Airport, Malaysia, the plane finally flew and experienced its peak drama at Don Muang Airport in Bangkok, Thailand on March the 31st. The liberation was carried out by Group 1 troops from the command of the Sandi Yuda Forces Command, now it is called Kopassus. Turning to the event of March the 31st, 1991, the Warsaw Pact ends. The Warsaw Pact is a military alliance of Eastern Bloc countries in Eastern Europe, which aims to organize itself against possible threats from the NATO alliance. The formation of the Warsaw Pact was triggered by the integration of West Germany into NATO through the ratification of the Paris Agreement. The Warsaw Pact was designed by Nikita Khrushchev in 1955 and was signed in Warsaw on May 14, 1955. This pact ended on March 31, 1991, and was officially terminated at a meeting in Prague on July 1, 1991. I'll end today in history with March the 31st, 2007. Earth Hour is celebrated for the first time. Earth Hour is a global activity held by the Worldwide Fund for Nature on the last Saturday of March each year. This activity was in the form of blackouts at houses and offices for 1 hour to increase awareness of the need for serious actions to deal with climate change. The activity, initiated by Worldwide Fund and Leo Burnett, was first held on March the 31st, 2007. Well, that was Today in History from Indonesia to the World.
Yakini cinta takkan berakhir, namun takdir menuliskan kita harus berakhir. Segenap hatiku luluh lantak.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we're going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's glad to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. This is the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Our topic today is Indonesia ensures return of Indonesian citizens in Uzbekistan. Indonesia, through its representatives, always pursues to provide protection for Indonesian citizens living abroad, especially amid the COVID-19 pandemic. That is because various countries impose restrictions on entry into their countries to prevent the spread of COVID-19, including Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan is temporarily closing the border and postponing flights in and out of its territory starting on March 16, 2020. Of course, this policy brought about an impact on 133 Indonesians who were then in Uzbekistan. As quoted on the Kemlu.co website on Tuesday, the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Tashkent coordinated with various parties including Uzbekistan Airways, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Uzbekistan and Deputy Prime Minister of Uzbekistan to ensure the return of Indonesian citizens on the 22nd March 2020. During the repatriation process, the Indonesian Embassy in Tashkent made sure to provide assistance to Indonesian citizens in good health. The Indonesian citizens consisted of 109 student groups and 24 other Indonesian citizens. They could arrive back smoothly in Indonesia on March 23, 2020. All Indonesian representatives in the world keep monitoring and following the developments of COVID-19 and the conditions of Indonesian citizens who live in the accredited country's territory. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Aku lakukan untuk membuat kau mencintaiku. Segala upaya telah kulakukan untukmu. Apa yang harus aku tunjukkan untuk membuat kau menyayangiku? Inilah aku yang memilih kau untukku. Karena aku mencintaimu dan hatiku hanya untukmu.
listener. For the next segment, we will present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to Gedung Sate Museum in Bandung, West Java. Gedung Sate is an icon of Bandung city. Therefore, many tourists visit Bandung and usually stop to take a picture in front of Gedung Sate. In the past, the building could not be accessed by the public since it was used as the office of the provincial government of West Java, but now, the building is open to the public. Many people were curious about the building, which was constructed by the Dutch. So the provincial government of West Java constructed Gedung Sate Museum. In the 500-meter-wide museum, tourists will receive deep knowledge of the history of the building's construction, which earlier was named Government Bedrijven. In addition, tourists will be spoiled by modern digital visual technology and video mapping. Gedung Sate Museum was inaugurated by West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan on December 8, 2017. Located at the eastern side of Gedung Sate, the museum presents historical themes, which is packed with sensory and interactive digital technology. At the museum, you can enjoy an interactive 3D scale model of Gedung Sate, an interactive glass display, a hologram, and a wall video mapping. At the museum, there is also virtual reality, which makes you feel as if you are riding a hot air balloon which circles the Gedung Sate area. In addition, you can also enjoy an architectural TV, an interactive floor display, and an interactive picture frame. Moving on from history, those who are interested in architectural art of the colonial era can discover historical materials and technical building which are used by architects in the past when constructing the Gedung Sate. To understand it, one of the corners of Gedung Sate wall is intentionally perforated to see in detail the stone foundations of the building. Well, another site of the museum that uses augmented reality technology offers you the experience to be foreman in the construction project of Gedung Sate in the colonial era. If you want to visit the museum, you can enter the museum free of charge starting from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. local time every day. But the number of visitors is limited to only 35 people per day. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Gedung Sate Museum in Bandung, West Java Province. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. satu yang tak bisa lepas. Percayalah, hanya kau yang mampu mencuri hatiku. Aku pun tak mengerti. Satu yang tak bisa lepas, bawalah kembali jiwa yang luka dan perasaan yang lemah ini menyentuh sendiriku. Tataplah diriku di sini, masih seperti yang dulu. Kutemui kau pun kembali untuk bersamaku lagi. Aku pun mengerti.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In the program Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Tipe Kamar Hotel or Hotel Room Type. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Tipe Kamar Hotel or Hotel Room Types. In the hotel lobby, Kevin's check-in, assisted by a female receptionist and choosing the type of room to be booked.
Selamat sore, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Sore, saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau check-in.
Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya?
Belum. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja?
Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe.
Oh, saya pesan yang standar saja deh.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabularies related to today's theme, which are tipe kamar hotel, which means hotel room types. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Menginap. Menginap, which means to stay overnight. Tipe kamar. Tipe kamar. Room type. Selamat sore, Pak. Selamat sore, Pak. Good afternoon, sir. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Is there anything I can help? Saya mau check in. Saya mau check in. I want to check in. Saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau menginap di sini. I want to stay here. Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya? Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya? Have you made a reservation beforehand? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? What types of rooms do you have? Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe. Kamar yang tersedia tinggal tipe standar dan tipe deluxe. The available rooms are standard and deluxe. Saya pesan yang standar saja. Saya pesan yang standar saja. I'll take the standard room then. In the conversation, you heard the phrase, di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja, which means what type of room are there here. The phrase is used to ask the room types at the hotel. If you have chosen a room, you can say, saya pesan, and then mention the type of the room. Which means, I'll take, and then mention the room type, to book the room you want. Hotel receptionists will usually provide a choice of several types of rooms available at the hotel. For example, standard, deluxe, and superior rooms. Let's listen to the following sample conversation. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja? Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja, which means what types of rooms you have here. Kami menyediakan tipe kamar standar, superior, dan deluxe. Kami menyediakan tipe kamar standar, superior, dan deluxe, which means we provide standard, superior, and deluxe room types. In the conversation, there is a phrase, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means, can I help you? The phrase is used to ask the needs of guests. Typically, the phrase, ada yang bisa saya bantu, is used by service providers, such as receptionist or customer service. But you can also use the phrase to offer help to others. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once again.
Selamat sore, Pak. Ada yang bisa saya bantu?
Sore, saya mau menginap di sini. Saya mau check-in.
Sudah melakukan pemesanan sebelumnya?
Belum. Di sini ada tipe kamar apa saja?
Kamar yang tersedia tinggal kamar tipe standar dan tipe deluxe.
Oh, saya pesan yang standar saja deh.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present you a Malay song entitled Dian, which will be sung by Boy Sandy. The song Dian was composed by Syahril Dian. The song describes someone's love who they care for, a man named Dian. But now it is over because the lover has gone. In accordance with its lyrics, the song has a slow tempo with melancholic music. The song will be sung by Boy Sandy, who was born in Padang, West Sumatra. He has mastered a lot of musical genres, including regional pop songs of Minang, Malay music, traditional music of Saluang, Dangdut, as well as slow rock music. Listener, now let's listen to the song Dian by Boy Sandy. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Halo. Halo. Halo.
Aku sadar kalau kini kita sudah semakin menjauh. Sempat aku berpikir ini kau yang menginginkannya lepas dari pelukku.
Dan sesali,
maafkanlah bila ku selalu membuatmu marah dan benci padaku. Ku lakukan itu semua hanya untuk buatmu bahagia. Mungkin ku cuma tak bisa pahami bagaimana cara.
Thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. You can give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and you can also send us your email to our email address voi@voinews.id.